for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, so welcome to number 400. Yes, that's right. You heard me correctly. This is the number 400th podcast for the Vintage Truth Podcast. I can't believe that it's been this much that we've done 400 podcasts. But yeah, the Lord, ever since we launched this thing, people have really responded, and it's just been amazing. And so, yeah, welcome to the 400th podcast. So we're going to really begin number 400, sort of like we began number one, by talking about truth and God's truth. You know, there was a song back in the 60s. Yes, I'm that old. And it was by a guy by the name of Burt Bacharach, and he wrote a lot of great hits. If you're from that era, you know his songs. But he wrote this one song that said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And, you know, it was sort of a precursor to, you know, sort of a John Lennon's Imagine type thing where, oh, if we could just all just love one another. You know, about that time, a couple of years later, I think it was Coca-Cola came out with this TV commercial where people were holding hands all across the world. They were like forming a chain, trying to form a chain. And the whole idea of the commercial was, you know, if we could just teach the world to sing the same song and we could hold hands and we could sway back and forth. You know, the problem with what the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the problem with John Lennon's Imagine, which is the most ridiculous song ever written, even though I'm a huge John Lennon fan, is this, is that they fail to factor in two things. Number one is the sin nature of man. That's the first thing they fail to factor in. And the second thing is they fail to factor in the scripture and what God says in his word. You see, because man is sinful, we will not ever conquer the world with love. Because guess what? No one agrees what love is. I mean, if you're a homosexual pedophile, you think that love is a 50-year-old man with a 5-year-old boy. If you're a lesbian, you think love is between two women. If you don't know God, my friend, you don't really know love. Now, you can have some sort of a semblance of physical affection or emotional attachment, or I'm committed to this person in a relationship. Yeah, you can have some of that. But you can't really know love unless you know God. And the fact that we are so detached from all that is good and all that is God in this world today, we're never going to come together over love. Are you kidding me? And the other flip side of that is that there's evil in the world. And there are evil actors in the world, evil players. There are evil people on the block. There are bullies. There are murderers. There are haters. And there are people that are never going to allow God's perspective to rule. And that's why the Bible tells us, we learn this through Bible prophecy, is that God has to enforce his kingdom on the planet, because for the past, let's just say the past 2,000 years since we've known about Jesus, that his message has gone forth and the world has not responded. And so the message of grace and peace and mercy and hope that God has given the last 2,000 years, mankind has said, you know what? Not interested. I'm going to keep looking on the menu. And so God will have to respond with judgment and wrath and condemnation during the 7-year tribulation period. And yes, there will be a group that will respond, a large group, but a larger group will not respond. In fact, the scripture tells us that that group in Revelation is eventually going to blaspheme God, to curse God, because they hate God. They don't want God to rule their life. They do not want God to tell them what to do. Look at how people respond when you tell them things that God says. When you tell them things like homosexuality is a sin, and in God's world, there are no homosexuals in heaven. There are no lesbians in heaven. There are no pedophiles in heaven. They lose their minds. When you tell women's rights and liberal, theologically persuaded people, politically persuaded people as well, when you tell them, no, you should not be able to butcher your own children and throw them in the trash can, their heads explode because they want to be their own God. They do not want God to tell them what to do. So anytime you talk about what God says in His Word, which you don't just make this stuff up, you tell them what God says, then they absolutely come unglued. And so no, the world's never going to come together over love, because there are too many definitions of love. You have to love yourself so that you can kill your baby, right? So here's the point of that. What the world really needs right now is God's truth. That's what the world needs. The world can only be set straight by God's truth. No matter how much we love people, and we should, no matter how kind we are to people, and we should be kind, no matter how much we do that, unless they hear the truth of God, then no one can be saved. And my friends, again, love and truth are not mutually exclusive. We don't just love people but never tell them the truth. We don't just tell them the truth but we don't love them. No, it's a both and proposition. And God wants us to always have love and truth. In fact, over in John chapter 1, there's this example of that that I think is pretty compelling. And it begins the whole Gospel of John, really sets the tone for the Gospel of John. And he says this. He says, the Word, he's talking about Jesus, the Logos of God, the expression of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, the only one that's come from the Father. And look at this. It says, full of grace and truth. Not just full of grace, not just full of truth, but grace and truth. And what's missing in the Christian equation today is the truth part. Now, I understand even among Christians, truth is controversial. I mean, you just declare some of the things that the Bible says to Christians some days, and they'll become unhinged because they want a God of their own making, which really makes you wonder, which God did they trust in for salvation? But Jesus was full of grace and truth. And when he came giving them God's truth. In fact, he was the embodiment of truth. You remember over in John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is the last night he's with them. And verse 6, he says, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but or except through me. You know what Christ is saying there? He's saying that he is the exclusive distributor of the real truth, and that you cannot say anything is truth as it relates to God, as it relates to salvation, as it relates to the way to God, as it relates to the life you live for God, unless it's through him. Christ was being extremely exclusive. And people say, well, why do you think your religion is better than other religions? Because of Jesus Christ, my friend. Yes, it's better. It's better than every faith on the planet. It's not only better, it's more accurate and more efficacious. It actually gets you to heaven, whereas no other faith does. And that's what he's saying, that Jesus is very exclusive. Jesus was purposefully divisive. Because the truth has to divide, because the truth cuts through the lies and separates delusion and deception and lies from what is the real truth. And Christ was and is that truth. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. Here's another pretty cool place. In John chapter 17, after that last night with his disciples, he takes them on a little hike, and they go to this place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is wild, because he goes over and he tells his disciples to watch and to pray. And Jesus goes over and he starts to pray as well. And this is interesting. In verse 6, we're given this insight into the prayer life of Jesus. I mean, people say, what did Jesus say in his prayer life? Well, we have some of those prayers recorded for us in the New Testament, but this one is the longest and the most intimate. He says in verse 6 to the Father, I made known your name, that's who God is, to the men whom you gave me out of the world. In other words, Jesus told them the truth about who God is. And he held nothing back. He told them everything that they needed to know. And he says in verse 14, I have given them your word. And it says, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You know, when we have the word in us, it makes us not of the world. It makes us otherworldly. You know, some of you guys can remember back, and maybe you grew up in an area where it was kind of a homogeneous area. You know, maybe it was all white, or maybe it was all black, or maybe all Hispanic, or maybe even grew up in an area that you had a lot of people that were of diverse ethnic backgrounds, but everybody stayed in their own area, you know? And, you know, maybe that wasn't your experience, but a lot of people did grow up that way. And so the first time you saw, you know, an Asian person at your school, or an Hispanic person, or a white person, you kind of looked at them like, oh, wow, this changes things. This is a different dynamic. I'm not used to this. And for some people, it may have caused them to be a little reticent, you know, a little hesitant to accept them. And because they were different, they were not of your world. They were not of your neighborhood, not of your ethnic group, not of your moral persuasion even, you know, not of your culture, not of your customs. And it was just different. I mean, the times that in the past where I've taken students on mission trips to Mexico and inner cities and to England and places like that, we've had to have training on, hey, this is how you understand culture. This is how you not respond, you know, when someone talks to you or offers you food or whatever, you know. And the disciples were like that in this world. But it's not just the disciples. We are that person. We're that minority now. Christians are that minority that speaks a language that of truth that sometimes is not acceptable to the existing culture. And that's why the world hated them, Jesus said. But he says, because I gave you my word, God's word. Now look what he says also in John 17. Again, he repeats that, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Then he says, sanctify or set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. He did not say, set them apart with love. You say, wait a minute, Jeff. Seems like Jesus said, wasn't it back in John 13, in verse, I believe it was verse 35, if I remember correctly. He says, and we love to quote this for evangelism, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, there it is, Jeff. If we just show the world that we're loving, they'll know where we come from, Jesus. Only problem is, that's not what that verse is saying. Read the verse again. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for, not the world, for one another. See, the context, the very previous verse, in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. One another. Not the Gentiles, not the world out there, although we are to love them, but that's not what he's saying here. They're going to know you really belong to me if you really love one another. But that's not what Jesus is praying to the Father, even. As great as that is, he's not even saying that to the Father. In John 17, he says, God set them apart in the truth. All right, so what is the truth? Very next phrase tells us, your word is truth. Your word is truth. And, you know, that really sounds a bit radical in the world that you and I live in, that God is claiming exclusivity to objective truth. Not your truth, my truth, his truth, relative truth, truth that changes. No, the truth. God, your word is truth. That's why I love Psalm 119. It's like something like 174 verses, something like that. And all but two of them talk about the Word of God. If you want to have a fantastic Bible study about the Word of God, just take your time in Psalm 119. It's so beautiful. Oh, how I love your law, it says. I love your commandments, you know, more than gold. I'm more learned than all my teachers. I mean, there's so much in there. But here's the point. The point is that God wants us to be saturated in his truth. And what that truth does for us, it by default enables us to recognize half-truths and whole lies. Half-truths and whole lies. We have a built-in radar detection system that enables us to know what is not the truth. And the only way to develop that inside of us is to know the Word of God. And so when all these Christian fads come through, and even books, you know, people write books about God, and you go, wait a minute, God's not like that at all. God never said to do that. God never said to measure yourself this way or think of yourself this way or identify yourself with a certain number, you know, this is your number. No, it's God's truth. And we can psychobabble the Bible to death. And we can emotionally bleed on the Bible and try to make the Bible say something that it doesn't say. But my friend, if you want to walk with God, you have to first walk in his truth. In fact, you and I cannot even worship God unless we know truth about God. And that's why in John 4, Jesus is meeting the woman at the well. And he says in verse 23, by the way, in verse 22, he wasn't afraid to tell this Samaritan woman that her religion wasn't right. Her religion didn't lead to God. It didn't even lead to God. He says, no, we Jews, you worship that which you don't even know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But he just called her out. He didn't care. They told her the truth. But it says, an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers, genuine worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. You see, worshiping God in spirit and truth means the spirit, it touches the deepest part of you. It's the real you that's worshiping God. But in truth is not just veracity and sincerity. It's worshiping truth that we know, worshiping God because of the truth we know to be true about him. You can't worship a God you do not know. And so in our individual lives, as we think about truth today and how desperately the world needs truth, there's so many lies coming from Washington, so many lies coming from the internet, lies coming from social media. It's just the world is drowning in lies, and it's drowning in deception. And the Christian, the believer in Jesus, is the only one that has the complete truth package. I believe the Jews can have some of it, but the Christian is the only one that has a complete truth package from A to Z, Genesis to Revelation. And that's not arrogance, my friend. That's just simply stating what Jesus stated in John 17, in John 14, in John 1, which was written about him, full of grace and truth. I pray that you would take a bath, take a shower in truth today. Just let God's truth wash over you, cleanse your mind, keep you connected with him. And when you're connected with him, guess what? You got everything that you need, right? Hey, God's word is truth. Walk in it and be joyful on this very day. God bless you. I'll talk to you next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.